perfect within you, there is no wavering in His Spirit. The problem is not my spirit. The problem is my soul, the womb of my life. And what God is here is, look, we learn by the Spirit of God, there's things that we can become more intimately acquainted with Him. But our soul is something that we have to be conscious about taking care of. See, the Holy Spirit is at work within you, whether you even recognize it or not. He's at will, working His good pleasure in you, even when you're sound asleep. Oh, come on, you're not hearing me this morning. See, he doesn't always, in fact, He probably does some of His best work when we're asleep. Amen? Because that's when you look like an angel. Amen? How many hears me today? See, that's when we are not struggling. We're at rest, Miss Rachel. We're not struggling with things. And at that time, see, we don't even realize at night that the Holy Spirit's at working. He's lifted the hood of your life and looking inside to those inner things, because during the day, you're too busy. You're running around. You're trying to make a living. You're trying to deal with things. You fussing and fighting with one another. You all captured by yourself. You into you. Come on. How many hears what I'm saying? So sometimes we're too busy to hear. But at night, our spirit can be at rest. So our spirit, the Holy Spirit, can be working on the inside of us on a continuous basis. But it is our soul that we must have a conscious effort to allow God to do that work in our life. How many can hear it today? Amen. Well, we're going to let all the kids be dismissed to junior church quietly, without running and without talking. We're respectful and we're going to honor the house of God. Amen. And the rest of you can be seated. But our soul is that which God is continually dealing with in our life. And you're hearing me talk a lot about how that the soul is the womb of our life. Amen. I don't want to fall off this chair. So our soul is the womb of our life. Amen. And I'm going to give me something to put my foot on. I'm going to have something for 3 months. Can't dangle. I feel like a grandfather's clock. Amen. So our soul is that which God is developing. And the yielding, and which we are talking out of Galatians chapter 5. You can turn there. Galatians chapter 5. And then I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians this morning. Galatians chapter 5, first of all. Then we'll back up into 1 Corinthians. See, it doesn't, and let me say this to you. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. But something that we need to understand, too, when that speaks, we're not always sure. Amen? How many knows that sometimes your mouth speaks before you're ready for anybody to hear it? I said, sometimes we speak things before we want people to hear them. Yeah. See, that's why that the heart must be sanctified. The heart of your emotions must be sanctified. Because you will either speak out of your soul. Turn to somebody. You'll either speak out of your soul. Turn to them. Tell them. You'll speak out of your soul or you'll speak out of your spirit. It depends on who's in control. Amen. I said it depends on who's in control. If your soul's in control, you're going to say all kinds of stupid stuff. No doubt. Amen? And then you'll slough it off like, well, that's me. I'm just an honest person. Not necessarily always honest. How many hears what I'm saying to you? How many say some things out of your soul that you wish that you could just pull back? Amen? Amen. Your soul is like going to the second floor of your house, if you have a second floor, and taking a pillow that is filled with goose feathers and opening it up and throwing all the feathers out the window, being carried by the wind, and then thinking that somehow you're going to go outside and pick up every one of those feathers and retrieve them. You're not going to do it. And a lot of things that we say out of our mouths, out of our soul, we think we're going to retrieve them, and we can't retrieve them. How many hears what I'm saying? So how important is it that we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit? Because if we can't learn to walk in the Spirit, then we are going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And where is that found? It's found in the body of sin that he's talking about. Your body is just a caisson. It is just a vessel that carries your soul and your spirit. Amen? Your body, your physical body, has no value. None. In fact, the thing of it is, God's not even going to keep it. It has an expiration date. How many hears what I'm saying to you? Amen. Do I have your attention this morning? Come on now. Listen to me. I'm giving you something today that you can live with and take this week. See, your body has an expiration date. No matter how much you try to keep it on this side, no matter how pretty it is here, when it's put into the ground and you are covered up, or if you decide that you're going to go in the flame and be cremated, whatever you do, whatever your doctrinal beliefs are, it doesn't make any difference, because the body's going to decay anyways. So it doesn't make any difference whether you're cremated or whether you put it in the ground. It doesn't make any difference. You know, say, oh, Pastor, I think that, you know, that's heathenistic for it to burn. Dust is dust. Even when you burn it, it still goes to dust. It doesn't make any difference. It's going to go to dust. You know, the body has an expiration date. It's going to die. It's going to expire. Amen. Either the fire or the worms are going to get you, one or the other. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to talk about stuff like this. Well, you don't have to. You just got to listen. Amen? See, don't get caught up in your flesh. Don't get caught up. Get all caught up in your flesh and get caught up in that context. We want to be able to preserve the temple. And I understand. I haven't done the best job in the world of preserving my temple and taking care of it. But God has really challenged me in this time of the next 3 months that I have to do some things. And not only natural things, but God has said, and I'm going to be challenging some of you this morning who want this time in your life to move up to another level in the Spirit. How many knows that God is challenging you to move up to another level in the Spirit? You want more of Him, and you want to see God demonstrated more than you ever have in your life. How many is feeling that challenge? I'm just one of this morning. Just raise your hand right where you said, Pastor, I just sense the challenge of God in my life to go to that next level. Well, I want to ask a very important question this morning. May I ask that question? Can I ask some people some questions this morning? Amen. I'm going to pick on Mary this morning. Amen. Because she's the easiest pick on. She won't get offended. Some of you I'm a little worried about, so. But Mary, when tomorrow morning, you're going to go to work? Okay. So when you go to work tomorrow morning, Mary, when you wake up, do you sit there and say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter whether I go to work or not. So do you stay there and debate about it? No. Why not? You're required to be there. And so when you get there to be able to keep that job, you have certain disciplines you've got to do every day. I bet there are certain things you do every day, every week, all the time, right? So there are certain things in your job that you're required to do every day. Why? Because it does what? It develops your skills to be able to do your job better. If you don't do those things. See, there are certain things on jobs. And I've had a lot of different jobs. I've had a lot of jobs. Amen. Mainly earlier part of my life is because I was just totally irresponsible. But I've had a lot of jobs, but the secret that I learned about jobs is that the things that you least like to do, hear me now, the things that you least like to do, do first. The things that you least like to do, you do them first. You don't want to save those things to the end of the day, because if you save them to the end of the day, you're going to hate it more than when you could have done it, but you didn't do it and you procrastinated, and now it's piled on top of everything else. So the discipline, I learned that discipline of doing certain things every day, whether I liked it or not, if I broke it down into bite-sized pieces, what happened was that my stress level decreased, but my skill level increased. So I became more proficient the more frequently that I did it. How many believes that's true? In your job, Mary, how many things when you started you didn't know how to do it? A lot. So in thinking about a couple of things right now in your own mind, Mary, that you didn't know how to do, has your skill proficiency increased because of your repetitiveness of doing it over and over and over and over again, right? So let me ask you a question this morning. Why is it that when it comes to the Holy Spirit, we want to be moved by the Spirit before we operate in the Spirit? See, I think the mistake is made in the body of Christ is that we don't schedule working with the Holy Spirit. What we do is that we are expecting to be moved. We want goosebumps. We want to feel it before we do it. Amen? If we can't feel it, we can't do it. So you can tell the level because how many this morning, and some of you, I don't want you to indict yourself this morning, but how many realize the importance of bathing on a regular basis? And don't lie. If you don't have that conviction, I don't want you to raise your hand and lie this morning. So don't put yourself in jeopardation of hell and torment the rest of your life. I want you to answer this with a heart of freedom. Can you do that this morning? How many realize the importance of bathing? Well, maybe I should ask this. How many individuals who are married to somebody else have realized the importance of bathing on a regular basis? Raise your hand. How many things it's important? Amen? Amen. I'm worried. Some of you didn't raise your hand there. I'm seriously concerned at this point. Amen? Seriously concerned. And that might be a question that's been answered for you. Why doesn't anybody want to be around me? Anyways, So you, as an adult, have realized the importance of bathing and taking care of yourself on a regular basis. You know, every week, it's always the same thing with Zechariah. Every week. Every week, same thing when it comes time to a bath. Hey, man, it's time for a bath. No, can't I do it tomorrow? Amen? How many have that problem with your kids? How many had that problem with your kids, or you have that problem with your kids? Right? And so when you have that problem, you can, and you're thinking, why do I have to convince you that I don't want you to stink? You want to know why? Because you never smell yourself before somebody else smells you. Might be personal impartation. How many understand that? How many knows that's true? Others smell you before you ever smell yourself. I mean, if you're dousing yourself with perfume and you're dousing yourself with toilet water and you're just trying to just spray and to keep the whole thing down so you don't have to get into that shower. But how many knows that no matter how much you cover, after a while, you can't cover it up. My whole contention is why when we are given the most important thing in the Spirit that somehow we make it so mystical that we are not disciplining ourselves in the Spirit of God. Amen. Think about it. How often we pray in the Spirit. If we're Spirit-filled, how often do we pray in the Spirit? How often do we commune with the Spirit? I'll tell you why. One reason is because we don't think the Holy Spirit is a person. We don't think the Holy Spirit can be grieved. We don't think the Holy Spirit has any feelings. We think the Holy Spirit is just something that is a mystical cloud. Like one preacher thought the Holy Spirit was a dove that sat beside God, the three thrones. Jesus on one side, God in the middle, and a dove hovered over the other chair. Yeah. But anyways, as intelligent as that individual was, that was the belief system because they couldn't explain it any other way. So here in Galatians chapter 5, where we have been walking in and we have been teaching in, we've been teaching on fruitfulness and we've been teaching on of how to be fruitful and how that we realize out of John chapter 15 that he said, abide in me and my word will abide in you. But he said, look, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, abide in me. So that you may bear fruit. Not that you may produce fruit, but that you may carry the fruit that's being produced on the inside of you. And so who is that which is producing the fruit in us? Well, he that is producing in us is the agent by which that everything is accomplished in us. Everything. Everything that's accomplished in us is accomplished by the agent of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we live in the age of the Holy Spirit. God the Father, who was from the very beginning, through his Son, who was the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world, a man created man so that he could be able to procreate and bring Jesus in the form of a woman so that he would have the spotless sacrifice to redeem us, because he knew without him being able to live within us and abiding within us by his Spirit, we would never serve him without a clear conscience. See, you can't serve the Lord without the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You can't do it. It's impossible. You can, because if you try to do it without the Holy Spirit, you become religious. You become legalistic. You become filled with do's and don'ts. You become that individual that how that you are able to live is, I don't do this, I do that. And if that is your life, then you're living a life that is basically subject to rules and dogma that you have set down, and you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in you. Because you'll walk by your preference, because I'm sure this morning that you have a differing opinion of certain things than I do. Now, I'm not saying this in condemnation, but some of you smoke. No, I'm not going to point you out and make you stand, so don't sweat it. Some of you smoke. Some of you feel convicted over it. Some of you don't. Amen? Amen? Some of you, I would assume, take a drink every once in a while. Wine, hopefully nothing very much stronger than that, but I'm assuming that as a pastor. What are y'all getting quiet for? Act like I'm interviewing you for a government job or something. Like I'm going to discover some hidden crime that you committed, you know? Oh, I see, I'm not the foolish pastor who believes that people don't indulge. I think that what you have to do is that you have to work out your own soul salvation. Now, being in leadership in that church puts you in a whole different bracket. But if you sit in this congregation Sunday after Sunday, you are more than welcome to hear the gospel. See, an unbeliever can come here and sit for the rest of his life, and he can hear the word of God, and he can sit here unafraid that he will ever be kicked out of this church. Because he can come here freely, and as long as he sits here and doesn't cause any kind of controversy or division in the body, he can come and sit and hear the gospel every week. No matter who they are, whether they're homosexual or lesbian, whether they are people, men who have, you know, are individuals, no matter what their propensity or what their perversion is, they can come and they can sit and hear the gospel. Why? Because we can't change them unless they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand is this, is that if you are saying, why is my life not moving forward? Why is my life not increasing? Why is it that when I stop and I look and basically my life has been the same for several years? Why is that? It's because, and the answer is simply is this, is that somewhere along the line we stopped walking in the Spirit, and what we decided to do, that it was easier just to walk according to whatever my flesh wants. See, everybody is faced with that. Everyone is faced with, do I walk in the Spirit or do I walk in myself? Now, the Spirit doesn't leave you because you decide to walk in yourself, but a position has been changed. The Holy Spirit will not subject himself and overrule your soul. So at that point, your soul became the head of your life. Are you hearing me? Your soul, your intellect, your emotions, your will realm. You are doing what you want to do. You are going where you want to go. You decide whether you want to go to church or you don't want to go to church. Read your Bible or not read your Bible. Serve God or not serve God. You know, whatever the case is, you have to understand that either your spirit is leading you or your soul is leading you. And some of us, sometimes we let the Holy Spirit lead us, and sometimes we let our soul lead us. Now, don't get all huffy. Don't get all, you know, all bothered and everything. I'm trying to give you something that for those who raise their hand, because some folks are going to be satisfied. You know, if I, you know, live a decent life and I pay my taxes and, you know, and I don't, you know, hit my wife too often, or I don't hit my husband too often, and I don't, you know, put my hand in the wall too much, then if I at the end, hopefully God will accept me. Some people believe that. Some people believe that if I do enough good deeds, I'll be saved. God will weigh everything out because I was so good, you know, I was so good that it outweighed everything and everything's cool. God will look at me and say, you know what? You're a really good person. So it's all good. Your good outweighs your bad. But that's not what the Bible says. See, that's what we want to believe. That's what we may have been taught to believe, but it's not about the good deeds that will save us. It's not about anything that you have done. The only action that will be judged is what you have done with Jesus Christ. And see, after that point, it is what have you done with him? Because in the form of the Holy Spirit, he has come and he is living and existing on the inside of us. So it's not just about the fact that you accepted Christ, but now what have you done with the Christ that is living on the inside of you? What have you done with him? What is your life? How does it line up by the Spirit of God? Because if we are walking in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He doesn't list every one here. He highlights it, right? In verse 16 in chapter 5, said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? Amen? Because in verse 12, he said, I would that were even cut off which trouble you, talking about those who have come who are bringing that doctrine. Remember what's happening here in Galatians. What's happening here? What's happening here are those Judaizers that are coming and saying, hey, look, I know you're saved, but how many of you want to be more saved? Amen? That's like saying to people is that you're saved, but to be real saved, you've got to be baptized. Well, those individuals that got saved and died the same day, they're out of luck then. Or you're saved, but you're not really saved. And to be more saved, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. No, we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're saved because of that blood and because of that has cleansed us and washed us from all our sins. But to be able to accept that, I must accept it through the grace of God. And by his grace, I have been saved, not of my own self, not of my own works, unless I should boast about it that somehow I did this. How many's following me today? So in that context, I realize that now that I've accepted Christ, how have I accepted Christ? Is there a little tiny man living on the inside of us? Really? A little alien Jesus, you know. You know, like that movie you saw where that guy was put in a hypodermic and was sent into the bloodstream. I don't remember what that movie was. It came to my mind when I was thinking about the little Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Somehow there's a little Jesus running around on the inside of you, you know? Really? How's he living in you? He's living you by the Spirit. That's why he said, it's expedient for me to go unto the Father so that I may send the Holy Spirit to you. Why? Because he is like unto me. You receive me by the Spirit. Because Jesus didn't chop himself up in little pieces and say, here's a little piece for Linda, here's a little piece for Karen, a little piece for Gary, a little piece for KK, and here's a little piece for Pastor. It's not what he did. What he did is because he is omnipresent, he is omniscient. What he did is by his Spirit, when Jesus died, Jesus paid the price. He went into the judgments of heaven at the mercy seat and placed the blood, and our sins were forgiven to all those except. And so he did it by his Holy Spirit, which he sent to us. So now his Spirit has been shed abroad, has been given, and has covered our hearts by the blood of Jesus Christ. So now his Spirit lives within us. Come on, everybody say, his Spirit lives within me. Say, hello, Spirit. Hello, Holy Spirit. I want to ask you a question this morning. How well do you know the Holy Spirit? I know about him. Amen? How many know the President of the United States? Not one person, but how many know about him? You know about him on what you read or what you see on television. That's how some people know the Holy Spirit. They know about what they've read or what they've seen. But my question to you today is, how many of you know the Holy Spirit? Man, I've got a really important question for you to hear today. I've got something very vital that I want you to hear today about the Holy Spirit. I want to know, I want you to ask yourself the question, am I a Spirit-led believer or am I a self-believer? Am I self-led or Spirit-led? Because if I'm a believer, I am locked into Jesus because I have this relationship with him. And I ask, but my question is, how do you have a relationship with him? Is your relationship built on the fact of what you've heard or what your mama taught you, your grandma taught you? And I'm not saying they taught you all those bad things, but if you're living off of what your mama taught you, I said, if you're living off what your mama taught you or your grandma taught you, that's fine for us to have a memory of that, but that is just like manna. Honey, it was good for that day, but it's not good for today. I need something fresh for today. I don't want to go back someplace and get some stale old cracker that was good for that day. There was wonderful things that was good in my mother's day, but how many knows? Not everything was glorious. How many ladies are thanking God every day for washing machines? Hallelujah. How many are thanking God for microwaves today? Well, undoubtedly, that's not as big as a washing machine then. How many are glad for cars? Oh, I think we need to go back to the horse and buggy days, brother. That was the simple days. Hey, good for you. I say go back, man. Get yourself a horse. Ride that puppy. Go for it. Amen. I'm sticking with my V6 fuel injected Honda engine. Amen. To get me from point A to point Z. Amen. I don't want to start out in the morning to get to a destination to get a gallon of milk and it takes me all day to get there and back. Amen. There are things that I thank God for today. I mean, that's cool. There's some things that are simple. But I want you to understand today is this, is that what was good for that day is not good for this day. It is present truth that God is speaking. And for us to be fruitful, we may be in an orchard. We may be in the orchard of God. But if our tree, if the tree has not been pruned, if it has not been taken care of, if we have been resistance against the change of the Holy Spirit in our lives, you have to understand, after a time when the Holy Spirit is dealing with our lives, when he comes to us over and over again to deal with our lives, and we are resisting against that, the Holy Spirit is not going to say, fooling you. I'm going to do it because I know what's best for you. How many hears what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit is that constantly he deals with our life at work to work his good pleasure. But realize this today. Your soul plays an important part of your life. And if the womb of your life is sick, if the womb of your life is struggling, if the womb of your life needs to be healed, because your womb is where God plants the seed, and then once it's planted, it gives directions to your physical body. Your body cannot move either without directives from your soul or from your spirit. Are you hearing me? Your body does not act on its own. How many hears what I'm saying to you? See, your body acts because of the signals that it's getting from the brain. If your brain is not spirit baptized and spirit led, then that means you are getting your directives from your soul. Amen? And if your thinking is stinking, amen? If our thinking is stinking, if our thinking is perverted, if our thinking is messed up, how many knows how much of our life is going to be messed up? How many knows how much of your relationships are askew or messed up because of the way that you think? I mean, if you've been raised that women are to be a doormat in your life and you get married and you wonder why your marriage has been so difficult for so many years, why is that? Well, because you have a mindset that women are subjected to a lower place, that they're lower than men. Are you hearing me? If women are only to be used for certain things, and they are this, and that's your thinking. See, you don't even have to form that thought, but you watched your dad treat your mom that way, and because you watched your dad treat your mom that way, it formed a thought pattern in your mind, and that's the way you believe. You may not act that way all the time, but it will manifest itself. Now, don't think for a second that the way you've been taught about God or the way you perceive God is how you worship and serve God. Are you hearing me? Amen? I know that I'm not shouting all over the place, standing on the table, but I'm giving you something that you can live by today. So he said, walk in the Spirit, that ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are the symptoms. My hand has no intelligence. Everybody look at your hand. Your hand has no, look at your hand. This is hand. Hand. Why are you guys not looking at your hand? I don't have my glasses on, but I can tell you're not looking at your hand. Everybody raise who has a hand. Raise your hand. Amen. Now look at your hand. Amen. Why is that so difficult to have instructions? Amen. That may be another reason why. Anyways, we'll get to that later. My hand doesn't have intelligence. Are you hearing me? Amen. I want you tomorrow to spend a majority of your day looking at your hand and talking to it. Exactly. And why don't you do that? Because your hand doesn't have intelligence. They will cart you away. They'll bring you a little white jacket with extra long sleeves, and they will cart you away. Say, no, 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 my pastor told me to talk to my hand. Right. See, nothing will help you. They will take you away. No matter how intelligent you look, they will cart you away. Your foot doesn't have any intelligence. Look at your foot. Look at your foot. How many of you talk to your feet? Amen? I know some of you talk to yourself. That doesn't bother me. Some of you are starting to answer yourselves, and that's something that you're going to have to work out. How many understand? Your feet doesn't have intelligence. Your hand doesn't have intelligence. Your hand and your feet and your body depend upon your soul and your spirit. So you can't look at your body and say, well, it's my body's fault. No, the problem does not lie in your spirit. If you've been born again, your problem is not in your spirit because your spirit is pure. Come on, everybody, say that with me. My spirit is pure because it's been born again. You can't unborn. You can't unborn your spirit. Your spirit has been born again. Your spirit is a brand new man. Your spirit is not the problem. Your spirit is pure. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in there. But the problem is your soul, the womb of your life. That is where the problem lies. The problem in the church and the problem in our lives, if you look at it, the majority of our problems is intellectual, it's emotional, it's through our will. And those are the areas that we need to deal with. So here he's telling us to walk in the Spirit. Why? Because the order is, if the Spirit is not in control, if we're not being led by the Spirit, if we're not going where the Spirit is taking us, then we must be being taken somewhere else. Amen? And if we're being taken someplace else, where is it taking us? It's not taking us into righteousness, peace, and joy in the... For the kingdom of God is neither meat nor drink. Come on. Say it with me, the kingdom of God is not. It's not through rituals. It's not through religion. It's not through repetitive habits of thinking that's going to make you righteous before God. The kingdom of God is neither meat nor drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How important is it? Well, it's important because if I want to walk in the kingdom, I pray that his kingdom, what am I praying for? Oh, I'm praying that I can be a better person. Then be led by the Spirit. How can we be led by that which we don't know, that we have no confidence in? The more that we know Him, the more that we will be led by Him. And I use Zechariah because he's the easiest one. He's the one grandchild that is upstairs all the time. Okay? And the other grandchildren are at different levels of correction, instruction, and impartation. But Zach is that one that's close. But Zechariah, in that context, he's not a rebellious child. But every time that, you know, pick up your room, take a bath, you know, put away, don't do that. You know, those things that are there doesn't make you a bad person. Are you listening to me? Doesn't make you a bad person. But we think to ourselves, then why? We think to ourselves, Johnny, well, why do we have to do that? Because if they don't hear that, if they can't find a discipline, if they can't obey my voice, if they can't obey me, what, in some way, how do you think that they're going to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit? If they see my life as nothing but a big flash flood half the time, are you hearing me? My life messed up. My life, you know, askew and like a tornado comes through all the time. You know, if the words that I speak is one side out of my mouth and the other side of my mouth, and it's not straight down the line is yea and amen, then what we're doing is that we're planting a seed that is there. In the same context, you have to stop and think. The reason why that I have certain problems with discipline in my life concerning the Holy Spirit is because as I was younger, there was a lack of discipline there. When you get saved, you don't become all perfect and everything. It's not like all of a sudden you get saved and it's like, oh, I want to work now. Amen? When you get saved, it's not like all of a sudden, now I want everything to be right. I mean, when you get saved, you don't always become, I mean, if you're disorganized and you're a clutter bug, when you get saved, it's not like you wake up with a revelation the next day and say, I need to get everything organized. How many knows that to be true? Don't raise your hand because you're telling yourself. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying? And to the opposite, because you get saved and you get filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean all of a sudden that you become disorganized and become this flake. Look, whatever internally is on the inside of us is there. But know this, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you and He is working on the inside of you. Even though you quit, He is silently working on the inside of you, patiently waiting for you, because He is going to wait, because He knows that you might have to walk through a series of things so that your life can be broken, so you have the ability to hear. Because if you can't hear, you can't be led. You have to have the ability to hear to be able to be led. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit's trying to lead him into. The book of Revelation is filled with it. Why is people going to be deceived in the last day? Because they can't hear what the Spirit is having to say. They're not being led by the Spirit. They're being led by their self. See, we think that we're saved and it's all good, but don't think for a second. If you can't recognize the Holy Spirit and discern between the Spirit of God and Satan, your life can be deceived in the last day. Because he said in the last day, many people's love will wax cold. You know what that means? That means the same thing in a relationship. You can be married to somebody. And you can love them, but man, have no feeling towards them. You can go through the motions. You can do all the stuff that's there. But there's no passion. There's no love that's there. Come on, somebody knows I'm telling the truth today. Just because you're saved, man, doesn't include, well, I know my ticket will be saved, but I want you to know something is this, is that why did he give us the Holy Spirit? Amen? Look with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. Just back up in just one book to 2 Corinthians in the last part of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Is everybody there? I got just a few more minutes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. See, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost.
It changed the age of the church. I know there's a lot of difference in doctrine and the fact that, you know, well, that's when the church and they were really born again and the Holy Spirit came, and I believe that they were sealed by the Holy Spirit. But there was more than one work that was manifested. And nonetheless, I'm not going to get into the debate about tongues today. I'm not getting into any debate. I want to give you something today is this, is that we live in the age of the Holy Spirit because that's how we receive Christ. He lives and He abides within us. How important is the Holy Spirit to you? How well do you know Him? How intimately acquainted with the Holy Spirit are you? How easily do you know His voice? Amen. So here, He's given us all of these things so that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. In chapter 12, verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Amen? Everybody say there's diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. So the Spirit of God is working within you because He's trying to give you something. The Spirit of God has what? Gifts. Amen? He said, now there are diversities of spirits, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to who? Is given to who? Amen. Who's every man? Would you raise your hand if you're the every man? Amen. Not every ready. How many is the every man this morning? Raise your hand. Amen. We're the every man to do what? Finish the sentence. So we are given the Holy Spirit to do what? So the entire body profits because of the gifts that are in our life. So that means that not only has God called us to a responsibility of ourselves, but God has called us to a responsibility to see that my other brothers and sisters in this body can profit in the Spirit. But you know how that comes about? It comes about because we have relationship. Amen. Don't shout me down. I said, because we have relationship. See, we live a life of convenience because it's easier to live with less people in your business. Some of you wanted to say amen so bad on that. Amen. The happiest time that me and Karen had in our life, the happiest time in our life was when we were estranged from everybody. God put us in a place in a far country that nobody could get to us. And to visit us, it took a lot of effort to get to us. And from that point, God launched us into an evangelistic ministry. We were completely by ourselves. Amen. Our children didn't know anybody else but us. We traveled for 3 years and traveled around the country, living completely by faith, no credit cards, no cell phones. You know, we lived completely by faith from week to week, completely, totally. Not that we don't live by faith now. I'm just telling you that circumstances and situations change. But back then, that was where we were at. Amen. If we needed brakes for our car, God supplied it. We believed God. God supplied it. If we need food, if we needed this, we needed it, that was what God did. He supplied the need. But it was the happiest time, and the reason why is because there was not a lot of people in our life. Our life was very simple. Now, God did that for a reason, because He wanted us to be healed as a family. We were a part of a cultish group of people before this. We were a part of people who were preaching a doctrine that we got involved in, not knowing, because that's not what, you know. I mean, cults don't say, you know, hey, I'm a cult. Who wants to join today? Amen? Amen. What they do, I love you. I think you're special. You're great. You have great gifts. Let me help you. Amen? And they will do a lot of things to pull you in. But after a while, you hear doctrines. All of a sudden, you find yourself praying less, reading less, and reading after people. Are you hearing me? Reading books, listening to tapes, more than you listen to the Spirit, and the more that you listen to the Word of God. When you read more books than you read the Bible, something's wrong. When you talk more than you pray, something's wrong. When you listen to me more than you listen to the Holy Spirit, something's wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we got free from that cult, and God launched us in it because God was bringing a purity back to my spirit. And God was healing. I'll never forget the day that I left this individual as I sat in their office, and I left, and he looked at me. He said, who's going to cover you? And I was such a dumb kid. I mean, I cannot tell you. I was dumber than a bag of hammers. I mean, I was so dumb in so many ways. But it's interesting, at that point in my life, the Holy Spirit spoke up through me. Are you listening to me? Spoke up through me, and I looked at him, and I said, the same person that saved me, Jesus Christ. I said, he's the one who's going to cover me. And I'm going to tell you something, a boldness raised up in me, a sense of identity raised up in me, and I walked out of that place and I knew that I had obeyed God. Are you listening to me? And for a long time, I had no covering. For a long time, man didn't cover me. I had to be covered by Jesus because there was too many people. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Covering is a valuable thing. And when you find somebody, man, who has more interest in your spiritual life than they do their own self life, then you have found something that's precious. You need to make sure you hold on to that. Amen? Amen? There's not very many selfless leadership in today's world. Are you still with me today? So he says there are differences. And he said it has been given. So has the Spirit of God, and the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to us. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. He lists the nine gifts. I'm not going to list all those out. In verse 11, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. For as the body is one, hath many members, all members that are one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. How many hears what I'm saying to you? Amen? Here is what we're talking about. We're talking about being led by the Spirit, and that God has equipped us and given us gifts for the body to be strong and for the body to be able to minister one to another. Amen? See, God does not give you the Spirit so you can say, I have the Spirit of God in me. God gives me the Spirit so that I can profit the entire body. God doesn't give you your gifts so you can talk about your gifts to now until the cows come home. Amen? It's like telling somebody starving to death, I got a lot of money. Could you go get me a hamburger, please? And here's somebody starving or dying. And here you keep talking about your money and about how much money you have. And you pull out a wad of cash and the person sitting there starving. Can I ask you, what more cruel thing can you do to somebody when you know they have a need and you have the ability to meet that need and you don't meet that need? Can I ask you a question today? There are people in this body who have need of you. I know some of you don't believe that yet. And I know that some of you are going to finally get what I keep saying to you. I'm not interested in the fact of growing numbers, but I am interested in growing disciples in this body. See, I take everything into account. When I see something, I never see totally what's going on at the time. I always wait until the aftermath. So you got to wait till the dust clears before you can really see what's happening and whether you've made any progress or not. See, I look at last night's service and all the wonderful things that happened, but I also look at today and I look and I judge things and I say, wow, I see things I didn't see before, but I see now. Are you seeing? And so, therefore, I can continue to build. But I am saying to you today, you that have the Spirit of God in you, do you realize you have something for somebody in this house this morning? See, you have something to give. You think, oh, no, Pastor, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a teacher. But you're a believer. And my question is, what do you believe in? You just believe in yourself and your family? Or do you believe in the greater body of Christ and that God has called you to a body and God has equipped you with a gift? And my question is, what are you doing with the gift that's on the inside of you to bless somebody else in this body? See, God has equipped you for something. Some of you are so taken with work and life and surviving. And I don't want you to discount the family. There's not one person in this church that believes that family is more important than us. We live that out every day. We've been here for 3 years. You've watched our family. You've watched our lives. You realize how important family is to us. Amen? So family is not something we set secondary. Family is very important to us, and the care of family is very important. But also, the thing that we realize is this. I teach my kids and my grandkids, they are not an entity to themselves. They have been called to help other people. See, God calls us not to the most likely places, but God calls us sometimes to the most unlikely places. See, some of you have planned, and you young people that are sitting here today, you need to listen to me very carefully. I know that you have plans, how important they are, how vast or how majestic they are, or how big they are. You need to realize something is this. Those plans can only take you so far. My knowledge and education and experience took me a long way. Are you hearing me? But guess what? They could only take me so far. Because I realized that unless I'm utilizing the gift that God has placed in me, if number one, if I'm not utilizing Jesus Christ and I'm not sharing him with anybody else, how bad is that? How wrong is that? Not only am I not sharing Christ, but the beautiful gifts that God's given you gifts of mercy. God has given you gifts of discernment. God has given you gifts of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. God has given you gifts of miracles and healings. And the question is this, how can the body profit without you? See, we think, oh, how can the body prosper without pastor? Well, I don't want to put myself in too bad of a situation here that you don't need me. But I'm not in a codependent place to where, you know, that I have to have you to be somebody. I was and knew who I was before I ever came here. Amen. I told that to my wife this morning, is that we were discussing some things. And I said to her, is two things you need to know. If you want to write this down someplace, this might be something you would want to remember. Number one, people perceive you as you perceive yourself. Amen. However you perceive yourself, other people will perceive you, because you have to realize that even though you may not say a word, how you emanate your personality and your feelings will always come out. People will always feel you. Amen. They know whether you're comfortable with yourself, whether you're uncomfortable where you're at, whether you're confident or whether you're not confident. Secondly, not only do people perceive you as you perceive yourself, but secondly, people many times in our own selves, let me back up here. The second thing here is this, is that if you're not careful, in your perception of yourself could be wrong. I want you to think about this. Your perception can be wrong of yourself, and because your perception of who you are is wrong, you think that is the perception that other people have of you. And if you do, you then act accordingly, and you act that out on a continuous basis, and you wonder why you're alienated, why you're estranged, why people don't understand you, why you're always walking in offense, is because your perception about yourself is wrong. So how do we change that, Pastor? We change it because we quit taking the identity of ourself, and we take on the identity of Christ. And when we perceive ourselves as in Christ, then how we respond to other people and how we live with other people is based on Christ in us, the hope of glory. Can you hear that today? How many realizes that, Pastor, my perception needs to be changed of myself? I want to change the perception of other people and how other people view me. And sometimes what we've done, we've created such an atmosphere around us. We've created such an atmosphere of perception around us. Such a perception that what happens is that we've created such a antagonistic, such a volatile atmosphere that we can't even relate anymore. But if we would learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, and that was the next thing, and I wish I had more time this morning, but that was the next thing, is learning to yield to the Holy Spirit in us instead of yielding to that soulish thoughts. Amen? Amen. Amen. Here's a couple things I want to leave with you today. I want you, if you are looking for a change, and I'm going to give you some just real quick things. We've got a couple minutes yet. I mean, where do you have to be? There ain't no football on. Can you stay with me just for a couple minutes? I want to give you something if you really want this. Here's a couple things I want to give you. If you want to change your life dramatically, I'm going to give you some very practical things. So if you want to take notes, or you can, this is going to be uploaded on the web, and you can go back and you can listen to this a little bit later. See, I believe that what God is calling, this is the challenge that God's given me. God has given me that we need to be doing things on a daily basis if we want power in the Holy Spirit. If we want to be led by the Spirit. If we want more of the Spirit's power, here are some things I'm going to give to you. Number one is this. Is a spiritual Christian should set times daily to yield to the Holy Spirit. That is that I believe as often as morning, mid-afternoon, or evening, you need to take out time and yield to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit what He is saying to your life at that time. Number two, set times to ask Him to lead you into those people who need help from you. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you to the people, to the people that's coming across your path. Who does God want you to minister to? Who does God want you to help? Amen? Number three, on a regular basis, pray for power. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. As often as you think it, you need to put notes up on your mirror, in your bathroom, on your refrigerator, in your Bible, you know, on your TV, if that's where you spend most of your time, you know. But wherever, you need to remind yourself that as often as you can, pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the Christian should constantly be praying for the power of God. You know, why? Because we need power to overcome. We need to allow that power of the Holy Spirit to emanate through our life. Number four, set a time to pray every day. See, we have been setting certain things in place here. You're reading the Bible at least 10 to 15 minutes every day. Make sure that you're taking time every day, at least 15 minutes a day, to not only read your Bible, but you need to make sure that you're taking time every day, at least 15 minutes, to pray every day in the Spirit. Okay, those who have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you don't do it on a regular basis, you need to start praying in the Spirit. Why? Because as you pray in the Spirit, it will build your faith. Not only will it build your faith, but you will begin to move into a different level of communication with the Holy Spirit. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying? Number five, this is something I'm going to begin to ask everyone, and that is, that I want you to set aside. Starting next week, I'm going to ask you to set aside one day a week. If you want to move into the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to begin to set aside one day a week to where that you fast. Amen? One day a week that you fast. Any time that you want, if it's from 6 a.m. to 6 a.m. the next day, or if it's 12 noon to 12 noon the next day, whatever it is, a 24-hour period. And in that time, I want you to set out as much time as possible to pray in the Spirit, to yield to the Holy Spirit in that time, to make yourself hungry. Fasting does not gain you anything, but it makes you hungry for the things of God. Are you hearing me? Yes. Amen? So choose that time of fasting. Just like the disciples couldn't cast out the demon. And Jesus said to them, amen, that this kind, know the phrase? This kind cometh not out but by prayer and by fasting. What did he say? This kind. There's things in your life that are not going to come out except through prayer and through fasting. You need to let the Holy Spirit make you aware of those things. Amen? Throughout the day, ask the Holy Spirit to help you and lead you in your everyday task. Make yourself aware of the Holy Spirit every day. So those are the five things I'm going to, just those simple things, is pray in the Spirit every day. Amen. Take time to pray.
Take time to read the Word. Take time to pray for more power in your life every day. Praying for power to do the things. Now, I'm not talking about praying for power to lay hands on the sick necessarily, but some of you need the power of the Holy Spirit just to do the job at work. You need the infusion of the Holy Spirit on the job. You need the infusion of the Holy Spirit in your bodies. You need the infusion of the Holy Spirit in your thinking. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in every aspect of your life. Look, how many of you raised your hand? You said, Pastor, I want to change. I want to go to a different level. Then you're going to have to do something you've never done before. And wishing it to happen, baby, ain't going to get it done. You have to schedule time for the Holy Spirit. How many think those are good practicalities? Amen. It's going to be on the website. They're going to upload it. You can go back. You can hear this teaching again. Amen. And that's exactly what it was. I'm glad I had the opportunity to share this with you this morning. Amen. Did you get something from the Word of God this morning? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise God. We have some loud services around here, but this morning this is what the Holy Spirit